The following is a recording from Maria Verona from iAdvise on Wednesday, July 27th, 2016 at 9 a.m. Central. This is the Hendetta Second Quarter 2016 Earnings Conference Call. Good morning, everyone. My name is Josh, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Hendetta Second Quarter 2016 Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After this presentation, we will open a question and answer session. Instructions on how to ask a question will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Enrique Barrera Flores, Investor Relations Officer for Hendetta. Sir, please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for joining us and for your continued interest in Hendetta. I'm Enrique Barrera, the company's Investor Relations Officer. I'm very pleased to introduce our management team. With us today is Mr. Carlos Danet, Hendetta's Chairman of the Board, Mr. Fernando Álvarez, Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Patricio Diaz de Bonilla, Hendetta's Chief Financial Officer. They will review the results for Hendetta and subsidiaries for the second quarter period after the report that was issued yesterday. If you did not receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. Please note that during this presentation, Hendetta may make forward-looking statements. Please do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Carlos Danet for his presentation. Carlos, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning to everyone. We appreciate your interest in our call today. As you know well, the past months have been marked by market volatility and uncertainty. The political and economic events have created an environment where companies have struggled to deliver results. Hendetta has faced the same environment as others. However, the nature of the market that we serve, as well as the soundness of the strategies implemented, have yielded consistent, strong results. Our guided portfolio growth for the year is 15-17%, and in the second quarter of 2016, we have achieved an annual growth rate of 18.5%, slightly above our guided range. The growth has been strong in our main market, Mexico, where we achieved a 14.7% growth, particularly driven by 30% growth in credit individual. But on the other hand, saw growth of 33%, mostly driven by credit mujer, and Guatemala posted an impressive 54% growth on a yearly basis. Now, growth has not meant a significantly higher risk profile for Hendetta. NPLs saw a slight improvement from 3.82% posted on the first quarter of 2016 to 3.42% posted for this quarter. Both values remain well within our guided values of 4-6%, given the changes we are experiencing in our portfolio mix. Now, efficiency is a key feature for the second quarter in a row, posting a 64.1% efficiency ratio, which is a significant improvement from the 70.9% posted in the second quarter 2015. Most notably, on the first semester of 2016, top line grew 16.9% when compared to the first semester of 2015, and the expense line grew 8.1% semester against semester. A significant gain in efficiency, which translated into net income growth of 38.5%, comparing the first semester of 2015 to the first semester of 2016. Most of it, not all of it, but all of these efficiency gains are coming from the results of the different strategies implemented in the past few years. But in the future, if it is the future strategies that will bring transformation to Hendetta, empower us to fill our aspiration to reaching 10 million clients in the next 10 years with personalized digital financial services. One of those strategies is yielding impressive results. Today, YAPAP, which is our banking correspondent network, is present in 31 Mexican states and serves 90% of the offices of Compartamos. In this year, YAPAP executed more than 3 million transactions, of which 1.3 was financial transactions that helped Compartamos be closer to the client as well as to rely less on third-party channels. Now, one of the strategies that is empowered by YesBus is their savings program, which today has more than 270,000 accounts and which is moving at a fast clip. We are the closest we have ever been to the point where we can massify our savings services, and we are currently putting in place our mobile banking technology and refining our products and branch operations. I will let Fernando give you more details on where we stand in this strategy, but I will say that when we roll out massive savings services, we expect to build an even stronger relationship with our clients and to rely less on wholesale credit markets, which will enable us to use our equity more efficiently. Other subsidiaries are doing well. Intermex executed 1.1 million transactions, which meant 5.3 billion pesos from enhanced credit service with remittance products, which our clients highly demand. Aterna has once again reached record levels of coverage, managing a total of 5.2 million life insurance policies, with about 91% of Crédito Mujer clients buying additional coverage to their basic life insurance. And finally, our innovation lab is moving along with great momentum. We have continued to engage with the fintech community by participating and sponsoring hackathons and challenges which are being tested and implemented in small scale to rural operations. We are confident that technology holds the key to our future growth by enabling us to serve more clients with more products and a much lower connection cost. We are very excited for what the future holds. We are on target to deliver 2016 results, and we look forward to the rest of this year. Challenges abound, and we're confident that we have the skills and the strategy to seize the opportunities that these challenges bring. I will now turn the call over to Fernando, who will discuss with you the results of our financial operations. Fernando, please go ahead.
Thank you, Carlos. And thanks to our audience for your interest in Gentera. I would like to take you through some of the main business indicators of Compartamos in order to review our performance during the second quarter of 2016. Our total loan portfolio for Compartamos operations, considering the three countries in which we are present, Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala, grew in the last 12 months at a solid pace of 18.5%, from 25.5 billion pesos to 30.2 billion pesos, with Mexico growing annually at 14%, Peru at 33%, and a growth of 54% in Guatemala. Now let's take a look at the growth breakdown by type of product methodology. Group loans for the three operations grew 16.5% through the last 12 months, from an equivalent in each local currency of 16 billion pesos to 18 billion pesos. This growth was composed by a 14% growth in Mexico, 124% growth for Peru, and 54% growth in Guatemala. NPLs in these three group loans operations posted ratios of 2.76% for Mexico, 0.71% for Peru, and 5.89% for Guatemala. In general, we consider the performance of these three group loan portfolios as solid, and we feel comfortable to continue with our growth plans in each of these markets. As you probably remember, last quarter we talked about some parts of our group loan portfolio that were showing trends that required attention. Well, let me give you an update on that. Crédito Comerciante portfolio in Mexico is showing an improvement in NPLs from a 6.13% that we saw last quarter to 5.18% that we are showing this quarter. And Crédito Mujer in Guatemala, that last quarter posted a 5.36%, now has decelerated significantly its uptrend at 5.89%. It is important to mention that as a consequence of the focus on quality origination in Guatemala, we are now seeing significant improvement in early NPL that makes us confident to continue to grow strongly as planned. Switching to individual loans, the total portfolio for Compartamos in all markets for individual loans was an equivalent in each local currency of 11.8 billion pesos that grew 17% from 9.8 billion pesos. If broke down by country, we see 6.3 billion pesos, that is 17% growth for Mexico, and 5.5 billion pesos, that is 26% growth in Peru. In terms of NPL, we see 4.72% and 4.17% ratios, respectively, in Mexico and Peru. These numbers and trends are positive in all parts of individual loan portfolios, including Crédito Crece y Mejora for Comerciantes, that is showing improvement to 7.83% from 8.55% that we saw last quarter. As a whole, Compartamos total loan portfolio in all three markets averaged a net interest margin after provision for the whole 6 months of this year as a percentage of total loans of 47.4%. That breaks down 56% for Mexico, 21% for Peru, and 63% for Guatemala. In terms of insurance, in all Compartamos, we have credit clients that pay for a voluntary insurance policy. That equals an outstanding number of 2.3 million persons, which represents a 35% growth from 1.7 million that we had 12 months ago. Broke down by country, it is a 32% growth in Mexico, from 1.7 million to 2.4 million persons, and a 550% growth in Peru, from 14,000 clients to 90,000 clients. In this past quarter, we were also able to service 1.1 million remittances, which is 12% above what Intermex did in the second quarter of last year. This volume represented Gentera a total of 45 million pesos of fee income for the quarter. That is a 32% higher than the second quarter of 2015. The performance of our operations is positive and according to plan, not only in terms of size, but also in terms of asset quality. These are good news that if are put together with improvements in operational efficiency that we are showing, and that Patricio will discuss in a minute, it makes us very optimistic on meeting the guidance that we committed for this year. Now, a brief update on our rollout phase for savings. We concluded the first quarter of 2016, I'm sorry, we concluded the second quarter of 2016 with 278,000 total debit accounts, from which 204,000 are considered active. Savings in aggregate now have an outstanding balance of 125 million pesos. The average balance per active account is 614 pesos. This amount grew a significant 79% since the previous quarter, mainly as a consequence of the introduction of our term deposit solution. In the second quarter of 2016, we had 3,804 accounts that invested an average of 9,611 pesos in a fixed term contract. The whole deposit branches solution is available now for 69 service offices. That is 12% of our locations in Mexico. As you remember, our deposit rollout is accompanied by the opening of proprietary branches and the increase of use of our Yasta correspondence network. This proprietary network not only serves our savings account customers, but also they serve our credit operations to disburse and collect loans, reducing the dependency in third parties. In the second quarter of 2016, our combined proprietary network, that is Compartamos 21 branches, Intermex 60 branches, and 2,158 Yastas commissioners, are being chosen by Compartamos credit clients to disburse loans in 24% of the cases, and 26% of the cases to repay loans. This has a significant reduction in commission and fee expense line for Compartamos Mexico, also habilitates and finances our savings strategy, and as I mentioned, it reduces significantly the dependence on third parties. Again, thank you for your interest on Gentera. Let me now turn the call over to Patricio Diaz, who will review the good financial figures.
Thank you, Fernando. I will now review Gentera's financials before we move to the Q&A session. Interest income for the quarter reached $4.8 billion, a 15.5% increase when compared with the same period of 2015. When comparing the first semester of 2016 versus the first semester of 2015, interest income grew by 16.9%, above growth in the average portfolio during the year. Portfolio yield remained solid at 66.3%. As we expected, interest expense growth can be explained by the hike in interest rates in Mexico and Peru. In Mexico, rates have moved from 3% in early December 2015 to 4.25% at the end of June 2016. In Peru, the reference rate has followed the same dynamics with an increase of 100 basis points. Despite this over 40% growth in the reference rate, we have been able to mitigate this increase by refinancing expensive liabilities, thus not having a one-to-one impact on the P&L. Interest expenses for the quarter increased by 24.4%, above the 17.9% growth in our liabilities. Regardless of this movement, NIM stood healthy at 56.5% for the quarter. As we anticipated, as the portfolio mix have changed, more provisions for loan losses are required due to the higher provisioning required by the newer product. Therefore, provisions increased by 33% on a year-on-year basis. As a result, net interest margin and after provisions for the quarter stood at 48%, which is a similar figure to the one experienced in the previous quarter. Commissions and fee income increased by 9.7% during the quarter, reaching 317 million pesos. It is worth mentioning that Banco Compartamos generated 190 million pesos of this amount, of which nearly 50% were fees generated by the insurance product sales. Yastas and Intermex contributed with 45 million pesos each of fees. Compartamos Financiera in Peru generated 24 million, and Aterna the remaining 13 million fee income. Fee income now represents 6% of the total income for the group. The use of Yastas as our customer preferred channel allowed us to decrease by 11.6% the fee expense, since we are no longer using so much third party for collections and disbursements. As a consequence, the net effect between commissions charged and commissions paid was an increase of 56% compared with the net effect of paying in the second quarter of 2015. Other operating income represented an income of 163 million, mostly explained by the Yastas subsidiary. Over its pilot stage, as we were not certain of Yastas acceptance and profitability, we spent fully its operating expenses without expecting taxes to be recovered. Since the company is now the number one channel for Banco Compartamos and is making now profits, during this quarter, Yastas unlocked 144 million tax shields related to the accumulated fiscal losses during its early years of operation. This should be considered as one-off effect. During the second quarter, operating expenses increased only by 7% compared with the second quarter of 2015. We have been focused on cost control and leveraged the technology we have now in our processes. Employees grew only by 4% in one quarter. And this is a reflection of our aim to tackle what represents over 60% of the operating expense line item. Becoming more efficient is something that it's always on top of the mind of the management team. Efficiency for the quarter was 64%, which is a strong improvement for the 71% reported in the second quarter of 2015, and also an improvement from the 65% in the first quarter of 2016. We expect that this ratio end the year in the mid-60s range that we have been mentioning in the past. Gentera's reported net income of 1 billion pesos, an increase of 55% compared with the second quarter of 2015. However, on a recurring basis, net income stood at 910 million pesos, representing also a strong growth of 33.8% versus the second quarter of 2015. This result is another right step towards the net income guidance for the year. And finally, with regard with profitability metrics, return on equity and return on average, those ratios stood at 29.5% and 11.2% respectively for the second quarter of 2016, and at 27.8% and 10.5% respectively for the first semester of this year, which is about, both numbers are above the figures that we have been guiding in the past. So we are very enthusiastic with these numbers, and we are delivering the dynamics that we saw in the first month of the year. This is, for me, all of my presentation. Thank you all once again. Could we move now to the Q&A session, please?
Certainly. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And we have our first question coming from Frederic Demaris from UBS. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the conference and the presentation. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on growth and the second one on asset quality. In terms of growth, you mentioned the loan growth was 18.5% in the quarter when we compare versus last year. That's a bit above your guidance. And I wanted to hear from you your latest impressions or your insights in terms of how strong the demand for loans is, especially in Mexico, but overall comments for the different segments where you're present. And also in this line, I wanted to ask you whether there is upside risk to your guidance of 15 to 17%. So that's the first question. The second one on asset quality, which improved pretty much across the board in almost every segment. And what you've mentioned in past quarters is that because of the shorter maturity, you're able to realign the NPL ratio relatively fast, but we also saw that the growth in loans was still strong in the quarter. So I wanted to hear from you if there is anything you did in the past few months to realign the NPL, to control the NPL and reduce that line. Thank you.
Thanks, Fred. This is Fernando. Regarding your first question, yes, this quarter we are seeing let's say a bit above what we have expected growth in terms of loan portfolio, 18.5%. Nevertheless, we are not expecting, right now, we are not seeing signs that we are clearly going to grow above what we have guided at the beginning of the year. There's a risk, an upside risk, definitely, but for now, we are planning to remain on the ranges that we have established. No? This quarter, obviously, has gave us some additional income and oxygen for this year. No? So that's regarding your first question. The second one, as you just pointed out, the almost all the portfolio is has had a great performance for this last quarter, with the exception of Guatemala, that decelerated its uptrend. I want just to give another detail. If you look at Guatemala early NPLs, and this is portfolio at risk from 8 days of arrears to 90 days of arrears, in the first quarter of 2016, because this is not a publicly showed data, but we have 4.2%, and this quarter we are showing 2.85%. So it's a significant improvement on that portfolio as well, and that's why we are even positive on the performance of Guatemala. But your question was, what did we do? There were two things. First was the introduction of the loyalty program, and that has had, as you probably remember, one of the things that we are rewarding is a good credit behavior, no? A good repayment from our clients. No? So that has had an impact on our NPLs. And the second one is some changes on the incentive of our loan officers, where we ask them to increase the focus on NPLs on certain products, no? Such as, for instance, Crédito Crece y Mejora for Comerciantes and from Crédito Mujer have a special focus for this quarter. And also all the leaders from each team and their follow of their own team in terms of origination was a special focus for this quarter.
Thanks, Fernando. That's helpful. So when you look at the NPL going forward, what would you expect for the next couple of quarters until year end?
I would expect the parts of the portfolio that, even though are showing improvement, are still at high levels, such as Crédito Comerciante, Crédito Crece y Mejora. We are seeing good trends, but still at high records. We expect those to keep on coming downwards. But as a whole, we expect our NPLs to remain on the current levels and remain within the ranges that we have guided in the past.
That's great. That's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Macedo from Goldman Sachs.
Good morning, gentlemen. Following up on Fred's question, first question, I'm just trying to understand a little bit better the growth here, because in the past you talk about control and expansion cycles, and typically when the NPLs hit a certain level, you start managing the growth and bringing it back and pulling it in. And it looked like we were right in one of these cycles, and you know, NPLs going up, and towards the end of the year you would start control, and that's why the guidance was for a deceleration through the end of the year for growth. Now, with NPLs declining this quarter and apparently staying flat where they are through the end of the year, even though that's well within the range that you see as comfortable, you know, shouldn't we expect, I mean, wouldn't it be reasonable to expect that you continue to expand your portfolio at a fairly good pace? I mean, looking through the end of this year and with NPL ratios where they are, you know, there is room for you to grow faster. Is that something that you're considering? And the second question is on Yastás. I understand that you have now it's moved to the operational phase where it's generating profits. How much of the funding do you expect for Compartamos? Do you expect Yastás to generate once it's fully rolled out? Thanks.
Thanks, Marcelo. This is Fernando again. In terms of your first question. I mean, what you just said obviously makes sense, no? If our NPLs are behaving better, why don't grow faster? But what we have decided is to remain, to stick to what we have planned, because any switch could bring future deterioration in NPLs, no? So our current plan of growing from 15 to 17%, we think it's a positive growth, it's an aggressive growth, so we don't want to change that plan, and we want to continue to grow our plan and also focus on originating with quality. No? The second question is, you said that how much funding we estimate to bring from Yastás. The way I want to address that is that remember that JustCash is only a transactional channel. What we are is affiliating independent stores to a network of these stores that are now, let's say, mini Compartamos branches, right? So part of our debit clients or our savings clients can deposit in a Compartamos branch or in a JustCash branch. At the end of the day, the let's say the balance of that deposit will be in Banco Compartamos balance sheet. So it's probably not the right way to answer it in terms of the funding, but what I can tell you is that around 20%, or let me give you some data about our deposits program. All the deposits or the cash-in transactions that happened this quarter, 40% happened in JustCash. Around 50% happened in Compartamos branches, and the rest was electronic cash-in that came electronically to the account. In terms of cash-out or withdrawals from this account, JustCash represented around 35%. Our branches will be around 45%, and the rest was POS, or this is clients using their cards in a POS rather than withdrawing cash. Also ATM, and also electronic cash out from the account. So JustCash is representing from, let's say, 30 to 40% of the transactions that our debit account clients pick to do. They pick JustCash to do it. I don't know if I answered your question, Marcelo.
That's good information. It's not, obviously we still need to see how it goes, but it's good. If I could go back to the first question then, just as a follow-up, of course you're not changing your guidance, but would a more favorable outlook for NPLs, as you stated earlier, would it allow you to extend the growth cycle so that, you know, typically in these cycles you would expect, you know, growth is, you know, around 17% this year, and then next year it's a little bit lower as you manage NPLs and you start growing towards the end of the year. Would the low NPLs allow you to keep the growth at the current level for a longer amount of time?
And Carlos, let me jump into this. Also, you need to bear in mind the base from which you are departing, right? In the first and second quarter of 2015, we grew 13% versus 2014, and as you normally happens, the second half of the year in terms of demand for credit is higher. So last year we grew 19% versus 2014. So the base from which we are growing 15 to 17% is much higher than the base of which we are growing 18% in this first semester. So bear in mind, and this is why we are sticking to the guidance that we provided. Again, the NPL gets improved, but it's within the ranges that we feel comfortable with in every product, right? So it's not that we are below the ranges that we feel comfortable, and therefore we should grow faster because growth is not keeping up. So all those two together, I hope, help to resolve your question.
Well, they do. Thanks for this.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tito Labarta from Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for the call. A couple of questions as well. First, I guess on your EPS guidance, I don't think you changed that, but is it fair to say that there's some upside risk to that? And also to clarify, we should remove the tax credits from JustCash for your EPS guidance for this year of 214 to 219 pesos, correct? So you want to clarify that, and if you think there's any upside risk there?
Yes.
And then I'll ask the second question after that.
Okay, and yes, as you know, we normally give the guidance that we provide it's always for the recurring operations. In the past, we have had a non-recurrent event that they are not considered part of the guidance because, again, they are non-recurrent. So, yes, if you add up this year's recurrent and non-recurrent net income, of course, there's an upside risk. However, again, no, the operation of Gentera is heading towards the guidance that we provided of this 214 to 219 for this year. With the normal upside risk that typically happens.
Yeah, and just even on a recurring basis, I have about a 111 so far in the first half of the year. So if the second half of the year is about the same, you'll already be above the guidance. So maybe I'll ask it this way. Do you think the second half of the year should be stronger than the first half, or would it be weaker for some reason?
No. What happens in this second quarter, different from the previous year, for example, the loyalty program, right? The loyalty program expenses last year were more skewed towards the first half of the year. This year, those expenses, which are not as significant as they were in 2015, will be more skewed towards the second half of the year because we want to keep up with the growth momentum that we have. So, again, we are sticking to the guidance both for portfolio and EPS with the normal upside risk that could happen.
Okay, that's very helpful. Then maybe a follow-up question on the funding. Because if you look at the deposit base, it's almost doubled compared to last year. It's almost 12% of your funding today. I mean, do you think deposits as a percentage of funding, is that going to continue to increase? Just at what level do you think it can reach in the near to midterm? And what would that imply for the type of leverage you have today? Can you then increase leverage as you increase your deposits?
Yes, I mean, in terms of funding, bear in mind that we feel that the funding that we are getting from the savings pilot is small, right? It's around 200 and something million pesos. What you see of deposits there are short-term bond issuances that are registered under Mexican law as savings, right? And they are volatile, and we use the short-term financing as a mechanism to fund or to finance working capital during the year, right? So the funding structure for Gentera hasn't changed. No, as you know, we are still keeping a strong equity. And on top of that, we are dependent on the bond market as well as local commercial and development banks to fund the business, right? Going forward, savings, yes, it is depending on how we roll out this project. We are expecting, again, not that part of the funding that we get is from savings. And depending on how successful are we in the deposit-to-loan ratio, it's how aggressive we can bring the capitalization down to a lower level. But still too soon to tell.
Okay, that helps. And just to clarify then, maybe the $2.5 billion in deposits that are on the Gentera balance sheet, that includes, I guess, some of these bonds you mentioned. Maybe a better way to look at it is just what's on Banco Compartamos balance sheet, which is around $580 million in deposits. That's more kind of a recurring basis. Is that correct?
We have 130 million pesos in savings from customers in Mexico. And the rest is short-term bonds.
Okay,
that should be considered as wholesale funding, right?
Right. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Catalina Araya from JP Morgan.
listening.
Thanks for taking my question. Just following up on the deposit strategy, so far you've mentioned that you have around 60 branches from Intermex and 21 branches from Compartamos. So I want to get a sense of how many branches you expect to have by year end and in the next 5 years, and also what's the cost associated with this network expansion, more for branches rather than like service offices. And then my second question is on Peru. We've seen loan growth expanding quite significantly in terms of the balance sheet. It's now representing around 20% of total loans. What's the goal for Peru in terms of mix, in terms of loan mix? I mean, should we think of Peru becoming closer to 30%? Just I want to get a sense there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, in terms of our strategy of opening branches or rolling out our deposits, yes, right now we have 60 branches from Intermex that are going to gradually be converted into Compartamos Banco branches. The brand of Intermex is going to gradually going to stick to remittances in the short term, and probably in the medium term we could also change that brand. We are in the process of deciding that. But these outlets are going to become Compartamos Banco branches. Right now they are still, let's say, Intermex. Now we have also 21 branches that we opened for Banco Compartamos. And for year end, I mean, that totals 81, let's say, proprietary branches. At the end of the year, we're expecting to have 135%. Right now we are serving around 10% of our operation in Mexico. For year end, we expect to be able to serve with these branches combined with Yastar. You should remember that this is a hybrid network, but we are expecting to serve around 30% of our operations in Mexico. A fully deployed program, we are estimating somewhere between 250 and 350 branches. We're still developing that project. And the way we are doing this is all the fees that we are saving from the transactions that now are taking place in Yastar and in Compartamos are fees that we are no longer paying to third parties. And this is that's a significant amount of money every year. And that benefit to our income statement is financing the investment and the operational cost of operating these branches. At the same time, now just that with their current operation is already self-sustainable and it's making money. So that part is covered. That's the way we're looking at it. I mean, all the transactions that we are going to save from third parties are going to finance the investment and the cost of opening these around 250 to 350 branches. As you can see...
Sorry, just to follow up on that, what's the timeline for this 250 to 350?
I would say 18 to 30 months, we should be fully deployed in Mexico.
Okay.
And one thing that I wanted to say is that we get a lot of questions about that other banks are reducing their branch, their networks, while we are increasing our network of branches, right? But we should remember that Compartamos was a bank with zero branches. I don't see many banks closing all their branches, right? So we need the sufficient number of points of transactions with own branches and also with just that to provide a competitive and convenient offer to our clients. And that's it. We are not planning to open a huge amount, number of branches, right?
And just to finalize, because I see where you're heading, each branch costs us 1.3 million pesos approximately. This is a significantly lower cost than any other branch in the Mexican financial system, right? So our branches are meant to be basic, but convenient, but provide good service. So do not expect, as Fernando mentioned, such a large investment in CapEx that could affect the profit and loss statement, right? As he mentioned, the thing is that most of the commissions that we are saving from third parties will finance most of these line items.
And one additional thing that I would like to say about this is we currently have 596 service offices around Mexico. Some of these branches are going to be built in these service offices, so that's going to help us also reducing the investment and the cost of deploying this.
Okay, thank you. Just the 1.3 is net of the financing from the savings and fees, or that's additionally to the financing?
No, the 1.3 is the CapEx associated to the branch, of a standalone branch. But as Fernando mentioned, if savings on top of this 1.3 can be achieved, if we open this branch within the service office that we already have. So with this strategy, we will not reduce the operating expense because we already have close to 650 service offices out there that are impacting today to the P&L.
And regarding your second question, what is the, let's say, the medium to long term plan in Peru? How you should look at Compartamos Financiera in Peru is a company that has been serving individual lending clients for 25 years. We have a good product there, a good technology, a good team there. So we expect that portfolio to keep on growing at the current rate that is growing. Have a very strong focus on quality. But at the same time, what we want to do in Peru is to grow in group loans at the speed that you are seeing currently. So Peru, little by little, the portfolio in Peru should look at how the group loans are gaining share in the total loan portfolio. And when you look at Peru within Gentera, if we keep on growing at the rate that we are growing now in group loans and we sustain the growth in individual loans in Peru, what should happen is that Peru should gain share gradually in our total loan portfolio.
Thank you. Very clear.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Gomez from HSBC New York.
Hi, everyone. Two questions. The first one refers to your tax rate. You have been paying about 32% in the first half of the year, so I wanted to know if you reiterate your guidance of 32 to 33%. The second question is about asset quality, taking a bit of a longer-term perspective. 5-6 years ago, your provisions to the loans were in the 3 to 4% range. It has been increasing. Right now, we are getting closer to 10%. It's understandable. Your loan portfolio has changed. Where do you expect to be 2 or 3 or 5 years from now? Are credit losses going to be a bigger part of your business model, or do you expect them to stabilize at some level? Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. On the tax rate, let me explain it very simple. In a perfect world, when 100% of your expenses are deductible, the corporate tax rate would be 30%, right, according to Mexican law. During the fiscal reform of 2014, the benefits for the employees are deductible at 50%, right? So there's a chunk of our expenses that cannot be deducted. Therefore, this is why you and we have been guiding that under these fiscal rules, the tax for the group should move between 32% depending on how it moved the cost of labor. On top of that, we have no other non-deductible line item. Therefore, tax rate should be expected to be under that going forward.
Sorry, can I clarify there? Is the profit sharing included in tax rate, or that is part of the expense, right?
The profit sharing? No, yes. It's part of the expense.
It's part of the expense, right? But it is related it is directly related to your profit, or because of the corporate structure, it may be relatively independent of your total result?
No, I mean, the operating result, at the end of the day, what you share with your employees, it's part of, this is what you mentioned, or the dividend?
No, the what you share with your employees, the participation
the employees is part of, what you use as a reference is the net income of the company.
Right. So, meaning your effective tax rate, when you look at it that way, is actually higher than the 33% that you're reporting.
Yes, if you take that into consideration, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
And regarding your second question about NPLs, we're a company that has a very strong experience on group loans, no? And if you look at our history in terms of NPLs in group loans, we have a much lower volatility in that portfolio if you compare it to our individual loans portfolio in Mexico. Nevertheless, if you look at Peru, it probably works the opposite, right? Our company in Peru is very experienced in individual loans, and their volatility for individual portfolio is smaller than what we have seen in group loans there. But gradually, we have been gaining experience and crossing experience from one market to the other. So right now we are seeing very solid levels of NPL in group loans in Peru, not only in Peru but also in Guatemala. So what we are aiming for in the past, so those levels should remain as what we have guided and as what we are seeing now. And in terms of individual loans, for us it's very positive to see our Mexican portfolio to have a 4.5% NPL, our total individual loans portfolio in Mexico. These are the current levels that we should pursue. That portfolio should move in a range between 4 to 7%. Those ranges are still adequate. But as you mentioned in the past, we know that we have showed higher ranges in our individual portfolio in Mexico. But what we want to achieve is a stable portfolio that is able to grow and also to sustain quality. When we start to see ranges above or records above the ranges, then is when we start to evaluate reducing or decelerating or act, right?
Mm-hmm. If I may say, this is, you refer to the level of NPLs, which we understand, but my question was more about the expenses associated to your NPLs, your credit costs, your provisions. And as I said, they have been rising as a percentage of total loans, which again, it is perfectly understandable. We just want to know what your vision is as to, in the long run, what type of credit cost you want to operate the business with.
Yes, and in terms of provision, following the trend that Fernando mentioned, crédito comerciante, individual lending, have not only different types or different levels of NPL, but also different levels of provisioning, right? So as they gain share in the portfolio, we get this double whammy. You get the impact in the NPL, plus the impact in provisioning. So going forward, what if we expect and the product follow the trend that Fernando mentioned, cost of credit should range between 9 to 10%, right? So we, again, no, could be hiccups during the process if you grow the portfolio of asset deterioration happens in one specific protocol and so forth, but around those levels is something that you should expect going forward.
Okay, so 9 to 10% of average loans.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Thiago Kapulskai from BTG Pactual.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to ask. I have a couple questions. The first one is on fees. You guys have been investing a lot on the network, right? And we can see an impressive growth on fees year over year this quarter. Just wondering where that's going, if we should expect high growth there again over the next few quarters. And my second question is set of questions related to expenses. We can see an improvement in your cost to income sequentially. I'm just wondering where that's going going forward, given all the investments that you guys are doing. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Thiago. In terms of fees, this multi-product strategy, of course, brings new avenues of income growth, right? Now having in the group insurance products, savings products, remittances, payments, and so forth, there's an income opportunity that we are tackling, right? And the fees should be adequate to the products that you serve, but again, these today represent 6% of total income. If you look at traditional banks, this line item represents like 20 to 30% of the total income for financial groups. So there's a window of opportunity there to keep up with the growth momentum. In order to do so, of course, you need to develop new products. Of course, products such as insurance. As you know, we only sell life insurance products, so there's a window of opportunity for healthcare, education, and so many other products that today we do not have, and we need to develop them and charge for those products. Intermex, for example, they also generate certain fees, streams, but again, today we have 4.7% of the market, and the idea is to continue gaining share in the remittance world with the synergies that we are getting with Banco Compartamos. And just as, again, not today, it's a mostly closed network for Compartamos users. Going forward, we might open that up for to do further transactions. And again, there's an opportunity there, or for example, savings. Today, the product is zero fees. Going forward, and once we know the acceptance of the product, we can charge for certain reasons. So all of these discussions are taking place today, but the message is that today 6% of the income is coming from fees, and it's relatively low when you compare that number with the rest of the financial players elsewhere. So again, now for this year end, the net benefit from the fees should continue its growth momentum and continue to represent further more of the total income for the group. And in terms of the cost to income, again, what we've done is very significant. You can see the cost control throughout the company, and not only the cost control, but we are actually changing the way we operate. As you can see, for example, employees grew only by 4%, which is the largest part of our cost. And this is something that can be explained by our focus in productivity, not only at the headquarter office, but also on the field. But going forward, the goal is to maintain, again, this mid-60s range in the cost-to-income line item. And in order to do so, in an environment or in which margins will be squeezed going forward, maintaining mid-60s range is something that can be only done if you get efficiency somewhere else. So in order to put a number in your model, you should think out in these ratios going forward.
Well, that's very clear. Thanks a lot for the answers.
And thank you, Daryl.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Lillian Stark from Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is regarding the commissions that you've charged. You're talking about the savings, and if, however,
sorry,
you look at...
We couldn't hear, Lillian. Commission?
Go ahead.
Is it better? Okay, perfect. So my question is regarding, the first one is regarding the commission. When we look at the net commission, so the commission received minus the commission paid on YesTax, we see that comes as a negative number. However, I'm sure that what you're seeing or the benefit that you're seeing from YesTax comes at what you have saved in Banco Compartamos. So you could provide some color on how those two things balance and where do you see the benefits through the income statement and through these commissions of YesTax as we get a negative number as we calculate it. The second question that I have is just following up on your comment regarding the branches and the openings. As we look forward, and you've mentioned your interest in participating more in fintech, how do you balance the opening of branches and building that physical network versus building a platform that provides for mobile transactions? And how that fits in with the strategy for YesTax. So sort of how would you balance these three platforms to service your clients?
Okay, and again, Lillian, in terms of the fees, yes, it will never add up if you follow the individual balances, for example, or P&Ls, or for example, Banco Compartamos, in which you saw a strong hike in the fees that they are paying. The thing is, when you consolidate the numbers, the only amount that is registered is those fees that are paid to third parties, not within the companies that form Gentera. So those intercompany transactions are eliminated from the consolidation process. So the fee analysis should be made exclusively on the P&L of Gentera, in which you can actually see how much we are paying to third parties, that's the fee expense, and how much we are getting from customers, that's the fee income, right? And as you can see those numbers, and you take the net effect, the growth for the year has been about 50%.
Yes, and the second question.
And just on that same, but I guess my question is that the case, why do we see a higher number of transactions, yes, and negative? I mean, looking just at Gentera and the commissions on YesTax, how can we explain the negative fee as you do, like YesTax net commissions received minus YesTax net commissions paid, or that we should expect that to sort of be negative, that there's a cost associated, and therefore what you're actually seeing as a benefit of having YesTax is that you reduce that payment to third parties?
Yes, I mean, YesTax has certain costs, right? Operating costs, it costs around 30 million pesos a month, and YesTax in their balance sheet needs to charge on top of that cost, right? And they charge YesTax that amount to Banco Compartamos.
Or to the client.
Or to the customer, correct? So when you charge to Banco Compartamos, that's the transaction that when you consolidate the figures are eliminated. So this is why you cannot see the numbers if you see or analyze the numbers individually.
Okay, yes, perfect. Understood. Thank you.
Okay, and the second question about our branches strategy. Right now, the way we are going forward is having a closer look at our credit operations, right? These branches have been opened for two reasons. One is to reduce the dependency on third parties, and the second is to habilitate the savings program. So we have a strong focus on the locations of where we are opening these branches to pick the locations where we have more dependency on third parties. On top of that, or besides that, this is going to habilitate us or give us the ability to offer bank accounts or savings accounts, not only to our credit clients in that area, but also to new clients that probably are not credit clients, but they are only going to open a bank account with us, right? So that's the way we are going forward for now. We are very soon we're going to be launching our mobile application. We already have some mobile functionality, mostly based on SMS messages, and in a few weeks we're going to launch our mobile application. The main challenge there is going to be adoption from our clients. That's why in this phase we are going also with zero commissions on that. Our bet is that our clients and our tenant is going to find this functionality as convenient, and that we can switch a lot of our current cash transactions to digital transactions. If in the medium term we see this migration, then we can, in the medium to long term, reduce our number of branches or switch the way we are going in that project, right? But first we need to look at how our clients are adopting this mobile technology. We are optimistic. Our mobile is going to be, again, without fees. It's going to be very easy to use, very simple. So we are optimistic that a good share of our transactions are going to happen in the digital world. As you know, this is all about our aspiration. And again, if our clients are migrating to digital, there is where our innovation strategy and our approach to the fintech arena makes a lot of sense. A lot of startups are approaching to us right now thanks to these efforts that we have been putting in place. For instance, we have been positioning ourselves not only as a company that wants to be involved in fintech, but specifically on financial inclusion among fintech. This focus has give us a lot of traction within the fintech arena. So a lot of startups are coming to us because this focus, we believe that it's something that put us closer to releasing real functionality to our clients. No? Not only that, but also the volume that we currently have, the fact that we have 3 million potential clients that could adopt these digital solutions that come from fintech, also are helping us to get a lot of startups that we're going to be able to work, right? So it's still early to tell, but that's how we are seeing our mobile application and then the digital and innovation strategy.
Okay, perfect. And if I may, a final question, just on the increase in deposits that you had in Peru, if you could provide a little bit more color there, it was a significant 60% year-on-year increase, and that explained what we saw at the Gentera level. So if we could get a bit more color on that, if I may.
Right. Yes, of course. And in terms as you know, the funding strategy is 100% wholesale, assume. Not 100%, but mostly wholesale. And we have different services. One of those are the issuance of local bonds, right? Private and public bonds. So those local bonds given the fact that they are short-term in nature, the Mexican laws require you to register as term deposit. So this is why you see that the deposits in Peru are increasing. However, our short-term issuances, both private and public.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, Patricia.
Thank you, Lilian.
Thank you. At this time, we have no further questions. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Carlos Danez for any closing remarks.
Well, this is Fernando Álvarez. I would like to thank you again for your presence in this conference call. We are very pleased about the results that we have been showing so far for this year, and we are optimistic to meet our guidance for the remaining of the year. Thanks for your presence, and we hope to see you in 3 months.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.